Lesson 1, do not obey in advance. Most of the power of authoritarianism is freely given. In times like these, individuals think ahead about what a more repressive government will want, and then offer themselves without being asked. A citizen who adapts in this way is teaching power what it can do. I'm Tim Snyder. That's Lesson 1 of On Tyranny. I think it's relevant today.
I do too, Tim. Sirens in the background are a nice touch.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK, 90.7 FM in L.A., 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, California. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's Queso and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets, on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Swelling up even as we go to air. Glad to have you all with us. Glad to have you there, Desi Doyen. You're in one piece, are you? I can't hear you at all.
Can't?
There we go.
So
now I can hear you. There we go.
Yay, yes. I'm doing just fine. Like you said, everything is just swell.
Everything's excellent. As we go to air, we are now just 1 week away from Election Day. That is, of course, your final chance to vote on what many, including myself, are describing as the most critical presidential election in the nation's history. So I want to turn as much as I can of this show over to you today in our live Southern California listening area, or to anyone who may be listening worldwide via our live web stream at kpfk.org, on what is likely our penultimate opportunity to open up our phone lines to listeners before next Tuesday. Desi, do you know what penultimate means?
It means the next to the top to the last.
There you go. Close enough. Well done. You've already passed today's test. Our phone number is 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735. And given the news from over the weekend, since we last spoke to you late last week, I will welcome your endorsements today for whoever they may be for this election. Do you have more courage than the billionaire owners of the Los Angeles Times and the Washington Post? If you do, 818-985-KPFK. Are you willing to reach even more people than those two newspapers are across the most powerful radio signal west of the Mississippi? Are you willing to use your public airwaves to take a stand on the most critical election, perhaps the most critical moment in U.S. history? Certainly in modern American history. If so, please do so. Dial 818-985-5735 and hit option number 1 to join us on air today, or option number 2 to donate to our flagship station here in Los Angeles, the great independent, not corporately owned or run, not billionaire owned or run, KPFK. And the Pacifica Radio Network, as we are also in what I believe is the last week of our latest fund drive here at KPFK, where this station, as so many of those who air the broadcast each day of the week are also funded by listeners. Listeners, not billionaires and their corporations. So guess what? We are accountable to you, the listeners, as opposed to the billionaire oligarchs. So please do consider supporting in whatever way you can the station or website or streaming service over which you are currently listening to the broadcast. I'll get to the billionaire endorsement business. I'll get back to that or lack thereof momentarily. But we've got some breaking news today that I need to quickly wave at least. And that, of course, we may cover in more detail on the broadcast throughout the coming days as the final week before election is now underway. And, well, literally, in this case, heating up quickly. We reported on an incident last week in Phoenix, Arizona, where someone had set a U.S. Postal Service collection box on fire, burning at least 20 mail-in absentee ballots in the bargain. And now it has, guess what, happened again, and in two different states. This time, not to a U.S. Postal Service box, but to a ballot drop boxes with hundreds of ballots in them. According to KGW8 out of Portland today, hundreds of ballots were destroyed in a ballot box fire in Vancouver, Washington, early Monday morning, and another ballot box fire in Portland, Oregon, which destroyed, in that case, just three ballots, where apparently there was a fire suppressant inside the ballot drop box. Now, I thought I knew a lot about elections. I did not know that some ballot drop boxes apparently have fire suppressants in them. That's good. And you know, I'm glad to hear it. If so, unfortunately, apparently not in that one in Washington State, however. Vancouver police responded around 4 a.m. on Monday to a reported arson at a ballot box on Southeast 164th Avenue near Fisher's Landing Transit Depot. I'm giving that very specific address because we have quite a few listeners in both Washington and Oregon. And in case you or anyone you know might have used that specific drop box and may need now to vote again to replace a damaged ballot, well, if you voted at Southeast 164th Avenue, the officers found a, quote, suspicious device next to the ballot box, which was smoking and on fire, according to Vancouver police. Clark County Auditor Greg Kimsey told KGW that hundreds of ballots were severely burned, many of which were destroyed. KGW is the NBC affiliate in Portland. The Clark County Auditor told the outlet that anyone who dropped off a ballot in that box after 11 a.m. on Saturday should contact the election division at 564-397-2345 or go to email elections@clark.wa.gov. The Office of the Secretary of State in Washington said the Clark County Auditor's Office will, quote, work diligently to make sure any impacted voters receive replacement ballots before the November 5 general election in a state which votes almost entirely by mail or, in this case, via Dropbox. Voters may check their ballot status online at votewa.gov to track its return status. That's a good idea wherever you may vote to track that ballot if the jurisdiction you're voting in allows you to do ballot tracking for absentee and mail-in ballots and so forth. I know we do that here in Los Angeles. If a return ballot, they note, is not marked as received, voters can print a replacement ballot in Washington, in Vancouver, or visit their local election department for a replacement, according to the Secretary of State's office. Secretary of State Steve Hobbs said, quote, we will not tolerate threats or acts of violence that seek to undermine the democratic process, adding, quote, I strongly denounce any acts of terror that aim to disrupt lawful and fair elections in Washington state. He said, despite this incident, I have complete confidence in our county election officials' ability to keep Washington's elections safe and secure for all voters. The FBI is said to be investigating the incident in the Democratic-leaning state. And around 3:30 a.m., also on Monday, security at the Multnomah County Elections Division notified Portland, Oregon police that they responded to a fire at a nearby ballot box on Southeast Morrison Street. Security personnel extinguished the fire in that case before officers even arrived. Portland police determined an incendiary device was put inside the ballot box to ignite that fire. Again, in another Democratic stronghold. As mentioned, a fire suppressant inside that ballot box in that case helped protect the ballots, according to the county, and only three ballots were damaged. The election division will contact those three voters so they can receive replacement ballots. Late on Monday afternoon, AP was reporting that police now say they have identified what they describe as a suspect vehicle connected to the incendiary devices that set fires to those ballot drop boxes in both states. So it sounds like it could be the same person who carried out both terrorist attacks, which is what this really is. Of course, we will keep our eyes on this story and other acts of terrorism meant to disrupt this election. But I will take this opportunity, again, to recommend that voters who choose to vote by mail, by mail-in absentee ballot in any state for any reason, that if you do so, please try to hand deliver those ballots, if possible, to a precinct or a voting center or a municipal election headquarters as allowed in your particular jurisdiction. I always recommend that anyway, frankly. But of course, given the news today and last week and what is becoming a troubling pattern, I'm going to double down on that advice. Try to hand that ballot to a person or to a box that is being watched by a person. If you must use a Postal Service box, the USPS advises that you do so before the last collection time of the day, which is marked on the box. And with election drop boxes, do so during business hours. Again, if possible. That's probably wise this year for what is quickly becoming obvious reasons. That said, if putting your ballot into a mailbox or a drop box is the only way that you are able to cast your vote this year, do it. And do it soon. And don't be cowed by terrorists. And don't obey in advance, as you heard discussed at the top of the show, and as I'll discuss a bit more momentarily. Yes, your vote does count and will be counted as cast, at least if I and a few million other Americans have anything to say about it. And in another follow-up to another story that we covered last week, Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner is suing billionaire Donald Trump supporter Elon Musk and his super PAC to block Musk's daily $1 million giveaway meant to encourage voters to register in swing states, which is a strict violation of federal law prohibiting the gifting of anything of value to encourage someone to vote or to register to vote. The Justice Department late last week sent a warning to Musk that his daily $1 million lottery-style gift to registered voters who signed his petition was likely in violation of the law. And now the Philadelphia DA is taking actual action on that. Krasner is seeking a court injunction in this lawsuit. He argued in the filing that the effort is an illegal, unregulated lottery, sidestepping, for now, the question of whether it violates laws against vote buying. Quote, America PAC and Musk are lulling Philadelphia citizens and others in the Commonwealth and other swing states in the upcoming election to give up their personal identifying information and make a political pledge in exchange for the chance to win $1 million. That, the suit alleges, is a lottery. And it is indisputably an unlawful lottery, the suit notes. Under ambiguous Pennsylvania law, all lotteries in the state must be regulated by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. This month, Musk's America PAC, to which the billionaire has given at least $75 million in the effort to elect Donald Trump, oligarchy much? Musk's PAC began giving away $1 million a day to a registered voter who signs a petition pledging support for the First and Second Amendments and $100 to Pennsylvania voters who sign that petition. But of course, they must be registered to vote in order to sign that petition, in order to qualify for the money, which violates 52 U.S.C. 10307C, barring vote buying. That, according to longtime UCLA election law expert Professor Rick Hassan, last week after Musk began his giveaways. And speaking of billionaires corrupting our election system, and in this case, not just spending their billions to get Donald Trump elected, but seemingly trying to please him in advance of the election, in the event that he should win. You know, I mentioned at the top of the show the importance of supporting whichever media outlet happens to be making the broadcast available to you today. Well, this news from Friday and over the weekend should make the necessity of that right now, the necessity of independent media right now, just 1 week away from Election Day, more than clear. The Washington Post, the newspaper with the now wildly and embarrassingly ironic slogan, "Democracy dies in darkness." A slogan, by the way, that was adopted by the paper after Donald Trump was elected to his first term in office. That paper has decided it just can't make an endorsement this year in the presidential race. It just can't choose between the sitting vice president, Kamala Harris, and a guy whose own top White House advisors from the last time he served in the White House have repeatedly and loudly described him as a fascist. A man who kicked off his final week before Election Day with a rally on Sunday night that's being described today as Nazi-esque, given the attacks on immigrants and the calls for mass deportations, and one of the speakers who described Puerto Rico, an island, by the way, of U.S. citizens, as a, quote, island of garbage. This is the man that held a rally, Donald Trump, at Madison Square Gardens in New York City, the site of the infamous America First rally back in 1939, held at the time by the American Nazi Party. The similarities there were not lost on anybody, but sure, it's a tough call for Washington Post to make as to who they should endorse this year. The Los Angeles Times made the very same decision to not endorse either of the two presidential candidates late last week. In both cases, the decision, the cowardly decision, was made by its billionaire owners after the editorial boards at each of the otherwise highly regarded papers had already drafted their endorsements, in both cases, for Kamala Harris. As you also heard at the very top of the show, the world-renowned U.S. expert on fascism and tyrannical authoritarian regimes, Timothy Snyder, leads off his landmark 2017 book titled On Tyranny with the most basic warning for how to respond to the rise, or the potential rise, of a fascist regime. Quote, "Do not obey in advance. Most of the power of authoritarianism is freely given," he notes in his now classic book. "In times like these," he writes, "individuals think ahead about what a more repressive government will want, and then they offer themselves without being asked. A citizen who adapts in this way is teaching power what it can do." And yet, as our friend Will Bunch of the Philadelphia Inquirer, who happened to be on this program on January 6, 2021, when the man now running for president again on the Republican side incited a violent attack on the U.S. Capitol and on the U.S. government himself in hopes of blocking the peaceful transfer of power for the first time in U.S. history, that Will Bunch wrote at the Inquirer over the weekend, "Once upon a time, in a world that feels so very far away, stories of courage by the reporters, editors, and publisher at the Washington Post inspired a generation of young people to believe that journalism was a way, and maybe the best way, to change the world for good. The pivotal scene," he notes, "in the 1976 film All the President's Men, which burnished both the facts and some legend about the Post, their star reporters, Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein, and their role in the Watergate scandal that took down Richard Nixon. That pivotal scene takes place in the dead of night on the pitch black lawn of the top editor at the paper, Ben Bradley. The two journalists fear they are being bugged, and they relay their source, Deep Throat's, warning that, quote, people's lives are in danger, maybe even ours. In a famous monologue, Bradley, played by the Oscar winner Jason Robards, tells Woodward and Bernstein to keep reporting the story that, quote, nothing's riding on this except the First Amendment to the Constitution, freedom of the press, and maybe the future of the country, adding his trademarked newsroom cynicism, quote, not that any of that matters. Yet perhaps an even more revealing scene, notes Bunch, occurs earlier in the film when Nixon's campaign manager, John Mitchell, called by the reporters for his comment on a damning article, instead issues a warning to the Post's trailblazing publisher at the time, saying, quote, Katie Graham's going to get her, he used a crude word for breast, caught in a big fat ringer if that story's published. Well, Katherine Graham's Post had a lot at stake. Federal regulators could have stripped her company's lucrative TV licenses, for instance, at the time. And yet both the story and the quote, minus the T word, were in fact published in the Post, which ended up winning a Pulitzer Prize for its relentless pursuit of Watergate. These are the stories, Will Bunch notes, that journalists tell ourselves in order to live. So much so that Amazon founder Jeff Bezos felt compelled when he bought the Post from Graham's heirs in 2013 to invoke them, to reassure the newsroom that he would never diminish the Post's reputation for courageous journalism. The $200 billion man at the time wrote in a letter to staffers, quote, while I hope no one ever threatens to put one of my body parts through a ringer, if they do, thanks to Mrs. Graham's example, I will be ready. Will Bunch notes, Jeff Bezos was lying. On Friday, the world's richest, third richest person, his scandal-scarred British publisher Will Lewis and the iconic newspaper they control stunned both the American body politic and the media world by spiking their own editorial board's endorsement of Kamala Harris for president, just days ahead of an election defined by her rival, Donald Trump's increasing threats to impose a tyrannical form of government with mass deportation camps and arrests for his growing enemies lists, including, yes, journalists. The publisher Lewis's utterly incoherent defense of the decision, ending a tradition of presidential endorsements the Post launched in 1976, the very same year that All the President's Men was released, did nothing to quell the rampant informed speculation that his boss, Jeff Bezos, had killed the already drafted editorial out of fear of a revenge-minded Trump 47, who could terminate the billionaire's extensive business dealings with the federal government. It seemed all too fitting then that Donald Trump was in Austin, Texas, meeting executives of Jeff Bezos's space venture, Blue Horizon, at the very same time that the Washington Post kiboshed the endorsement. That space company, owned by Jeff Bezos, already has contracts for billions of dollars with the federal government and many other such contracts as well, all of which, well, depending on who wins the next presidential election, could simply go away. Will Bunch notes, if this looks like the latest saga of open corruption in a nation that's become a billionaire kleptocracy, it is. But this moment is also so much more than that. He says America is witnessing the raw power of dictatorship just days before voters even decide if that will truly be our future path. He is obeying fascism in advance. Unfortunately, he is not alone. 3,000 miles to the west, Bezos' fellow billionaire, Patrick Soon-Shiong, the owner of the Los Angeles Times since 2018, pulled the same maneuver in killing his editorial board's endorsement of Harris that had been in the works for weeks and which followed months of editorials warning of the authoritarian dangers of a Trump presidency. Observers noted that Soon Shiong is a longtime close friend to, yes, you guessed it, lottery man Elon Musk, vote-buying man Elon Musk, the world's richest man and who has thrown all his time and considerable dollars, more than $100 million that we know of so far, into getting Donald Trump elected, even if he has to offer voters the possibility of $1 million to sign them up in that effort. Writes Will Bunch, while the moral center of the journalistic universe seemed to be collapsing, Trump told a rally in Tempe, Arizona, that the media is, quote, the enemy of the people. Echoing ominous language of dictators from the 1930s. And quickly followed that by a new threat to create licensing problems for CBS because Trump did not like the way they edited a 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris. And then a lengthy post on Truth Social, his dumb media site, threatening to prosecute his political enemies. He has already suggested several times that he would be willing to use the U.S. military to help him do that, to round up his domestic political enemies, not just migrants in this country who so many of Trump's supporters seem to think he is talking about, despite Trump's own repeated words to the contrary, saying, no, I'm not talking about immigrants. I'm talking about my domestic political enemies. I'm talking about the Nancy Pelosi's. I'm talking about the Adam Schiff's. Maybe Fox News doesn't play those words to his supporters as much. I don't know. Maybe outlets on the left don't play those words as much as they should. But the message here is clear, writes Bunch. The cowardice of the news organizations controlled by Jeff Bezos and Soon Shiong has already taught Donald Trump, in the words of Yale's Tim Snyder, what power can do. And if he prevails in next week's election, he plans to bring that hammer down in full force. Make no mistake. I should note again here, as we did last week on this program, I believe, that on page 247 of the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025, the 900-page policy blueprint for Trump's next term, as written by dozens of former Trump administration officials, at least the ones who aren't out right now trying to loudly warn that he's a fascist and should never be allowed anywhere near the Oval Office again. Chapter 8, page 247 of Project 2025, it is noted that, quote, Pacifica Radio, which owns our flagship station here in Los Angeles and helps syndicate this program to dozens of other Pacifica radio outlet, radio affiliate stations around the country and across the world, that Pacifica Radio, they're specifically mentioned by name, should be defunded and, quote, shorn of the presumption that they act in the public interest and receive the privileges that often accompany so acting. Now, to date, I can report that Pacifica Radio, a network founded in 1946 by Lewis Hill and E. John Lewis in opposition to fascism as part of their commitment to progressive and anti-authoritarian values, Pacifica Radio has not obeyed in advance, at least to my knowledge, as the billionaire owners of the LA Times and the Washington Post have demanded that their newspapers do. What happened at the Post and the LA Times, writes Bunch, was a stunning betrayal of journalism's moral values. But in a strange way, he says, the papers did perform a public service, showing American voters what life under a dictator would feel like. Are American voters noticing? These reversals, he says, coming now and coming from the poisoned heart of American oligarchy, have instead confirmed the worst fears among an anxiety-racked electorate, that the core institutions that once saved U.S. democracy under the life-or-death pressures of Watergate, that would be the Supreme Court, Congress, and aggressive media, all have morally imploded into empty shells. The editorial page editor of the LA Times resigned in protest despite the horrendous journalism job market out there. At least two other colleagues have now joined her. Mariel Garza bravely said, "I'm resigning because I want to make it clear that I am not okay with us being silent. In dangerous times, honest people need to stand up. This is how I'm standing up," she said. The Washington Post, for its part, in its style section, confirmed that, quote, "the decision to no longer publish presidential endorsements was made by the Post's owner, Amazon founder, Jeff Bezos." As Will Bunch concludes at the Philly Inquirer, whose editorial board, by the way, on the same day as the news from the Washington Post endorsed Kamala Harris, they had no fear of doing so on that very same day. He writes, "This early sneak preview of what dictatorship actually looks like is also providing the most important lesson we could have right now, which is how to not obey in advance, but stand up against strong men and bullies. How all of us respond over the coming days and weeks will decide the fate of the First Amendment to the Constitution, freedom of the press, and maybe the future of the country, and if any of that matters." Well, I think it does matter. And while we still have a First Amendment and freedom of the press with the future of the country on the line, I do want to open the phones to you for your endorsement for president in this year's election, since the Washington Post and Los Angeles Times are too cowardly to do so themselves. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. If you're listening live in Southern California or anywhere across the globe via our live web stream at kpfk.org, we'd love to hear from you, your endorsements and reasons why, and maybe a few of my questions for you about them are all straight ahead after a quick break. 818-985-KPFK. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to The Bradcast.
Hi, this is Desi Doyen from the Green News Report and The Bradcast. What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At The Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
The real question is, as a country, are we ready for this moment? Are we willing to do what it takes to get her across the finish line, or are we going to let ourselves get distracted and fall for the scam? Are we going to lose sight of the dire consequences if we come up short? And right now, folks, I have to be honest, I'm not completely sure of the answers to those questions. There's too much we stand to lose if we get this one wrong.
Don't ever tremble for my freedom. Don't ever take it away. Let us cherish and keep that one part of our life.
Welcome back. It's the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. That was Michelle Obama at a Kamala Harris rally in Michigan over the weekend. Rally for Kamala Harris, who is running in no small part on the idea of freedom saving it from what could be ahead under a Donald Trump regime, including the freedom to decide what women are able to do with their own body, freedom of the press, and many more freedoms. But as noted, the Los Angeles Times out here where I am and in Washington, D.C., where the Washington Post is, both of those papers have declined to endorse anyone this year for, in the case of the L.A. Times, the first time in about 40 years, For the record, we'll take your calls, 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. If you would like to endorse any candidate, I would love to hear from you. For the record, the response from Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein to the announcement that the Post on Friday would not be endorsing anyone for the first time since 1976. Quote, we respect the traditional independence of the editorial page, but this decision 11 days out from the 2024 presidential election ignores the Washington Post's own overwhelming repertorial evidence on the threat Donald Trump poses to democracy. Under Jeff Bezos's ownership, they write, the Washington Post news operation has used its abundant resources to rigorously investigate the danger and damage a second Trump presidency could cause to the future of American democracy. And that makes this decision even more surprising and disappointing, especially this late in the electoral process. That from, yes, Woodward and Bernstein. Over the weekend. Let's go to the phones, 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Stephen in Venice. Hey, Stephen, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Yeah, hi. How you doing? Love your show.
Thank you, sir. What's up? Yeah, you got an endorsement for me today?
I've got one, yeah, but first I want to confess my moral cowardice on your show.
Okay.
Because who I'd like to give my vote to is Jill Stein. But I'm going to vote for Kamala, even though she has a Gazan albatross the size of an elephant around her neck.
Mm-hmm.
But she's probably the only one who can stop the orange menace.
Now, why do you call that a moral failing, Steve?
Well, because I should vote for who I think is the best candidate, and I think that's probably Jill Stein.
Mm.
But she's way more progressive than Kamala, and Kamala could have three heads and be a flesh eater, and I'd probably vote for her because she has the only way to stop this idiot. So, anyway, yeah.
Well, I don't know that that's a moral failing at all, and especially being willing to call up and explain your thinking on that, too. I know a lot of people who feel similar. Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate that call. 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. You have an endorsement. Again, for anyone, I'll put you through. Let's go to Fred in Orange County. Hey, Fred, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, hi, Brad. Hey, great introduction. Another thing about fascism is militarism. You know, that's part of, getting nationalism and people behind the country.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we have most of the people in this country telling Biden for over a year that there's a genocide that Israel's committing. And we're supporting a fascistic state. You know, Zionism has always had a streak of... a string of fascism in it. You know, you have to march in lockstep. This is why, Albert Einstein, noticed
well,
that. And
Fred, before you get too far off the road, no, you haven't always had to march in lockstep. As a matter of fact, before October 7 in Israel, there were tens of thousands of Israelis in the street protesting against their own government, against Benjamin Netanyahu, who is basically needs this war to go on as long as possible, to go on forever. Otherwise, he'll be thrown out of office and then he will face the criminal felony charges that have been in place since before he became Israel prime minister. So, no, you don't have to march in lockstep, at least Israelis don't.
I'm talking about in lockstep regarding ignoring the population that's non-Jewish within Israel. You know, they were not marching for freedom and democracy for them, who have lived under an apartheid-type system within Israel itself.
Mm-hmm.
The one reason I called, Brad, is that we have most people opposing the war, the genocide. It's not a war, it's a massacre. And Biden has ignored them. So this is why people are disaffected. Either they won't vote or they'll vote for a third party, just like Stephen just mentioned, Jill Stein. You know, and Jill Stein represents you know, they're both parties. And again, we're given the choice of the lesser of two evils, which is a rotten choice, an oligarch.
Who are you endorsing? Who are you endorsing with that in mind?
Jill Stein.
Okay.
And but anyway.
I got a lot of people that I got to get to. Fred,
Let me mention just two things. Al Jazeera has is investigating war crimes in Gaza that I recommend. Democracy Now. You know, Amy Goodman had him on October 9th, and then Max Blumenthal also has Atrocity Inc. I recommend How Israel Sells Its Destruction of Gaza.
Thank you. Thank you, Fred, and I will and I will also recommend Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! I cannot, in good faith, in good conscience, I should say, recommend Max Blumenthal, who I've found to put forward disinformation a little too often for my liking as well. By the way, even though Fred sees it as a genocide in Israel or in Gaza, I don't see it as a genocide. I do see it as an atrocity. I do see it as a war crime. I realize I'm splitting hairs. I also realize that Donald Trump will make things far, far, far worse for Palestinians and everyone else in the region. How do we know that? Because Donald Trump has said so himself. Just my opinion, but I appreciate the endorsement of Jill Stein there. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to John in Pasadena. By the way, we got a lot. I'd love to hear from some women out there. We got a lot of dudes calling in, which is fine, but it would also be nice to hear from some women. 818-985-5735. I'll put you right on top no matter who it is you're supporting. John in Pasadena, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hi, Brad. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. Is this the John that I've had to hang up on every now and again because you don't want to have a conversation, but you want to give a monologue instead?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. Good. All right. Because we got a lot of Johns on the line, and I'm always careful of that John, even though I try to let him in. Anyway, what's on your mind, John?
Oh, well, Trump. Trump is who I would vote for.
Yeah? Why are you endorsing
Donald
Trump?
Kamala says she's about the future, and she cares about the American people, but she seems to think the American people are whoever can get here, whoever can get on the shore. And I talk to people all the time in the work that I do, and all types of people, and they're very dissatisfied with what's going on with the influx of foreigners into the country.
Okay. Let me ask you a little bit about that, John. First, what did you say her name was?
Whose name?
The woman who's running for president that you oppose.
Kamala Harris.
Okay, her name is Kamala Harris. You know that, right?
Who cares? Who cares?
I do. I think you should.
Don't.
I think. Okay. Well, then you obviously have no respect for the people who are running. You have no respect for apparently
the
truth.
For the American people.
Hang on, John.
I have respect for
good.
The American
All right.
people, and I don't even think she's a citizen.
All right. Okay, John. I'm going to give you one more. Hang on.
I don't think she should be able to run for president because she's not a naturalized citizen.
Wow.
A naturalized citizen means you're born of naturalized parents.
Read the Constitution, my friend. If you are born in the U.S., you are a U.S. citizen, end of story. Secondly, and if John wasn't so obnoxious, I would have had a conversation about this, but it was Donald Trump who blocked locking down the border despite an agreement between the Biden-Harris administration and the most conservative members of the U.S. Senate, an agreement to put thousands more cops down on the border, to put more judges, to seal off the border, which, by the way, is now seeing fewer, and I'm sure you didn't know this, John, but is seeing fewer people coming across the border than during the end of the Trump administration during the COVID pandemic. Are you aware of that, John?
There's people walking around with backpacks who don't speak any English. They're from all over the world.
Yeah, that's what immigrants
Somalia,
are like. All right. All right. We'll take them down. Because he's not going to listen. That's what happens when you come from a different nation. You speak a different language. That's what my grandparents did when they came here. That's kind of how immigration works, John. Sorry, brother. 818-985-KPFK. There's an endorsement for Donald Trump. Wish we had a coherent one. Let me go to Larry in San Pedro. Hey, Larry, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Who's your endorsement, Larry?
Well, I'm going to go off subject here for just a minute.
Okay, not too many.
How many people are listening right now, Brad?
I don't know. How many, Larry?
Give me a guess.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Okay, no problem.
Thousands, so hundreds of thousands, millions? I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
Here's my comment.
Yeah.
It's worse than we think because NBC, CBS, ABC, NPR, all those people, they have made Donald Trump's criminal record disappear.
Hmm. How so? How have they made it disappear? You know about it because they've been reporting it, right?
We have two juries now. One jury has ruled that Donald Trump raped a woman.
Yep.
The other jury has indicted Trump. Mm-hmm. And convicted him of 34 felony convictions,
mm-hmm.
bank fraud, wire fraud, etc.
Yeah.
That establishes his criminal record.
Yeah.
And the entire, all the networks refuse to tell voters about this aspect.
Well, you're right.
Of who this man is.
I mean, you're right. I don't think they refuse to give that aspect, but you're right. They don't mention that very often, and I think I'm guilty of that too. It's hard to describe him every time as the Republican nominee and 34-time convicted felon, which he is, and frankly, which is how we should describe him, and as an adjudicated rapist. And so you're right. I don't think they refuse to do it. I think that, and you know, I'm not one to make excuses for the corporate media or for myself. It's hard. It's really difficult. We've never had to do anything like this. It doesn't fit in to the way we report news when we would normally say, you know, the Democratic candidate Kamala Harris, the Republican candidate Donald Trump. It doesn't fit in to add the 34-time convicted felon and adjudicated rapist every time we mention him. So I take your point. You're right. He has, in fact, broken the system. He's done so much criming, in fact, that he has broken the system. Larry, I got to let you go because I got a bunch of people to get to, but do you want to get in a quick endorsement for anyone you like real quick?
Miss Harris.
There you go. An endorsement for Kamala Harris. Thanks, Larry. I appreciate that call. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Rob in Apple Valley. Hey, Rob, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, Brad, good to talk to you. Hey, I always like just like to say is people are fools that they're just going to throw a vote away voting for Jill Stein, and they're definitely going to throw a vote away voting for Donald Trump. It seems like they have some sort of political amnesia that they don't remember what they lived through for, you know, 4 or 8 years ago. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, and I will agree with you on the amnesia. I really will. I won't agree with you on the wasting your vote. Look, you get to vote for whoever you want to vote for. It is not a waste. It is not. You don't get a prize if you pick the right winner. Do I think there are smarter ways to vote than others? So be it. But I'm going to support however they vote for whoever they vote for, whether I think they're right or wrong or not. That's the way American democracy works in any event.
Yeah, I get your point. I guess I just reworded it wrongly because I certainly wouldn't, you know, take anyone's vote away, you know, but these people got to really think about what they're doing, you know, and especially what they're going to do to other people that don't vote for so-and-so or this or that. You know,
so you think it's a mistake to vote for Donald Trump or Jill Stein. You think, I guess that's an endorsement of Kamala Harris.
Oh, yeah, I'm voting for Kamala Harris, totally, right. Because, I can just deal without the madness, but I know the stupid and the madness never stops. Okay? But I appreciate your show. I'm gonna move on so you can get on to with other callers. Okay.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
You bet. Hanging up on yourself is always appreciated. Let me go to Donna in Pasadena. Hey, Donna, Welcome to the broadcast. We finally got a woman to call. Hi, Donna. Who are you endorsing for president this year?
Let me ask you, who are you endorsing?
I don't tell you. Well, I don't endorse. I'm on a lot of radio stations that are nonprofit that we're not allowed to endorse one or another. I will say that
even as a personal citizen.
Well,
you are an individual.
I am, and what I will make very clear and crystal clear to anyone who asks is, if you know me and my coverage on the air and at bradblog.com for the past 20 years, I fight for democracy, period, end of story. And I oppose anyone who opposes democracy. So you can take the rest from there.
Well, I have just two short points, and I won't keep you. I will vote for Kamala and Harris.
Who?
I mean, Harris and Wells.
What's her name? Come on, Donna.
Kamala.
Her name is Kamala.
Kamala Harris.
All right, close enough. Go ahead.
You got to hear this idiot mispronouncing it every day.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Deliberately.
Yeah, I hear you.
And
that's
he's
right.
on the news more than anybody.
I know.
Yeah, but let me just say this. I will say this.
Yeah.
I am swallowing this hard because I agree. I believe that we should be doing something with Israel breaking the law and UN law. They are. Mm-hmm. And you said that they wasn't.
No, I did not.
They have destroyed churches,
yep.
hospitals.
Yep.
All of that is against the UN, and it's wrong. We know it is.
Yep, and I couldn't agree with you more. It's absolutely wrong. The only point that I made, hang on, Donna. The only point that I was making is that genocide has a very specific legal meaning. And while I believe that Israel has been committing atrocities and war crimes, I don't believe they are committing a genocide. I realize it's a very thin hair to flip. So
over 20,000 children dead, shot in
terrible,
the head,
horrific,
arms and legs removed.
Horrific.
I don't know what else you call. And everywhere you ask
horrific.
Them to go, yeah. then you bomb.
You
that
call
area.
It an atrocity. Yes, it's horrific.
One thing.
Yes. Yes.
I just wanted to say this one thing
quickly.
To the caller before
yeah.
who was talking about people who come here that don't speak English.
Yeah.
Europeans came here in droves, and they did not speak English. Okay? And
yep.
many people come here to this country
yep.
and don't speak English. They learn it as part of the American Constitution
yep.
and everything else.
Yep.
And Europeans were certainly on that list.
Yep,
so,
as were my...
Kamala's yeah. parents were immigrants. But she was born here. Read the Constitution. That's what it says. If you're born here, you're a citizen.
Well
if you
said.
Want to change that,
thank
then
you.
Change it.
Thank
but
you,
it
Donna.
Is and what it is.
Thank you, Donna. And I assume you're talking about Kamala Harris, not Kamala.
Kamala.
There we go.
Kamala.
You'll figure it out. Hopefully, you'll have 4 years to figure it out, but we'll see. Thank you, Donna. Or Donna, however, I don't know how you pronounce. Anyway, thank you. Let me go to very quickly. Who do I have here? Let me go to Tyrone in Rancho Cucamonga. Hey, Tyrone, welcome to the broadcast. Who are you endorsing? And I have very few seconds for this call.
Oh, that probably won't work for me. But anyway, so I think you probably. I'm not endorsing either candidate at this point. I'm in the middle.
Okay.
Both Democrat and Republican. I think you may need to consult Webster and check the definition of what genocide is, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that it's in your contract where you can't espouse what your party is. But
yeah.
nevertheless,
I don't have a contract. But the stations that I'm on do have an agreement with the FCC.
You're probably right, and I'm wrong. But let me just say this:
all right.
With time fleeting, I'll be brief. But I will tell you this: Donald Trump. This should be a litmus test. You know, Donald Trump is a pig, and I don't think Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
I don't think she's the candidate of the people either.
Mm.
I'm an African-American man, and she does not speak for me,
mm-hmm.
period. And I think I speak for a lot of African-American men who are in my social circle, and I'm a business professional.
Yep.
But I do not think she speaks for us in part.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry about that. We had to... We are still on FCC radio, which is why I was discussing a number of FCC rules. So, Tyrone, others, please be careful what you say when you call in. I take your point. But, yeah, we are on your public airwaves. We would like to stay that way. Do I have time? I guess I got time for one more. Sorry for all the folks I couldn't get to. Tried to get to as many as I could, but got to talk to our old friend Mo one more time here, at least before the election. Morris in Long Beach. How are you, sir? Yes, I can hear you. Who are you endorsing this year, Mo?
I'm voting for Kamala Harris, and
why?
I think everybody listen. I know who Brad is voting for. Whoever is expanding democracy, that's who Brad is voting for.
Yes,
we got record turnouts. Let me tell you something. The polls for 2024, they were wrong. Just like the polls in 2022, they were wrong with the big red wave and never came about. Now, hey, Larry, I know what you're talking about for earlier call. MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, Forbes, Newsmax, even Elon Musk. None of them guys is calling this guy Trump out for what he is. He's a convicted felon. Now, Judge Juan Merchan, he got blood on his hands because he allowed a convicted felon to walk the street and run for president of the United States. But another guy that was on KPFK, he said, that Judge Juan Merchan didn't want to put him in jail because he was scared. And regarding what's going on over there in Gaza, the ICC has an arrest warrant for the Israeli prime minister. Now, just leave it at that. All right. Talk to y'all later. Thank you, Bradley.
Thank you, Morris. Well done. We got to get that guy his own show here. We have got to get out. My apologies again to those folks who I could not get to who called in. We will try to do it again around this same time next week. It'll be our last chance, I guess, right before Election Day. My thanks to all of you folks, all the listeners, to my producer, Desi Doyen, to my board operator, Wendell Handy. And to everyone for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's program or you just want to listen again, share it with someone you know, love, and hate, you can download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. Drop me email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on all the social medias, you will find me at The Brad Blog. We'll see you there. Until we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
Listening to the Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.